Good morning. Let's open this morning's service with hymn number 70 in your hardbacked hymnal. Hymn number 70, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let's all stand together. Number 70.
Sing that hymn without thinking about Isaiah chapter 6. When the Lord repeats himself, and he often does in the scriptures, it's for the purpose of emphasis. Often when you read the Psalms, one verse will be saying the same thing as the previous verse in different words. But no place in the Bible that I know of are any of the attributes or characters of God brought to the third level of repetition except for his holiness. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, by the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, Woe is me, I am undone." I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims with a hot coal from off the altar and touched my lips and said, your sins are taken away. That's my hope this morning, that the voice of the Lord will move the post that we are so prone to lean against, and that we'll find the Lord Jesus Christ to be the only hope of our salvation, the only place of rest, our only strength. If we do, we'll see something of his holiness, and we'll see something of our sinfulness. If you'd like to open your Bibles with me to Psalm 52, we looked at this psalm Wednesday night, and the last verse of this psalm struck me, and I felt like that we just gave it a very cursory look Wednesday night, and so I'd like to consider the last verse of Psalm 52 in a little bit more detail. And I've titled this, The Cause of Praise and Faith. The Cause. If we have some understanding of the cause, then we can have some hope of the effect. And the Lord tells us what the cause of faith and praise is in this one verse. Let's bow together and ask the Lord's blessings. Lord, we are like Uzziah coming before thy throne of grace, or like Isaiah in the year that Uzziah died, coming before thy throne of grace, and hoping, Lord, that in all the desperate circumstances of this world and of our own sin and of our life, that you would be pleased to reveal something of your holiness to our hearts and enable us in this hour to bow in worship. Cause us, Lord, to acknowledge our sin before thee. And then we pray that you would take one of those hot coals from off the altar, that altar where the Lord Jesus Christ has been sacrificed for the sins of his people, and that you would touch our lips, that you would purge our sin, and enable us, Lord, to find our rest and our hope in thy dear Son. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Psalm 52, verse 9. I will praise thee forever because. Because. What is the cause of praise? And he answers that question when he says, for thou hast done it. Now that's the cause of praise. The cause of praise is what God has done. And then he says in the latter part of this verse, and I will wait on thy name. I will trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will rest in him for all my salvation. And the word for there is the same idea that we have in the word because. Because it is good before thy saints. The cause of praise is what the Lord has done. And the cause of faith is because he is good in our sights. He has made himself to be beautiful in our eyes and giving us a desire for him. That's the cause. That's the cause of praise, and that is the cause of faith. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28. The Lord said to Cyrus, who was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. The Lord Jesus, that's the word done here. It's perform. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's shepherd. He is our shepherd, but he's God's shepherd. And God said, he shall perform all my pleasure. He will do what I sent him to do. And when you see what he's done, you're going to praise him because he has done it. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. So the Lord's telling us in Isaiah chapter 44 exactly what the Lord said to the disciples when he asked them, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter said, and the Lord said back to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. You didn't come to this conclusion on your own. You didn't figure it out. You didn't study it. My Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this unto you. And upon this rock, I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord has performed the work of redemption, and the work, and the Lord will perform the laying of the foundation of his church. What is the cause of our praise? Well, what has the Lord done? What has he done that would cause us to bow in worship and praise to him? And I have several answers to that question. The first one is, he has chosen a people according to his own will and his own good pleasure before time ever began. Now that's reason for praise, isn't it? Election is the reason for praise. For if God had not, according to his own will and purpose, chosen a particular people, no one would be saved. If God didn't choose us, we would never, ever believe on him. We have reason to praise. Who hath made thee to differ? We have reason to praise because God was pleased to choose a particular people. The eternal covenant of grace, where the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and where the Lord Jesus Christ struck hands with his Father and became the surety of his people, is our cause for praise. God made a covenant with God to save a particular people. Had that covenant not been made, our covenants would not stand. The Lord made it clear in Isaiah chapter 28, your covenant, your promises shall be disannulled. This covenant is the cause of our praise. Elect according to the foreknowledge of the Father. And then Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Had God not elected a particular people, no one would be saved. And God's people understand that. They know, Lord, had you not chosen me, I never would have chosen you. I praise you. I praise you for your electing grace. What is it that the Lord has done? I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. We would have no way of knowing God had God not revealed himself to us. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Had God not revealed himself to us, this is what he's done. So we praise him for his electing grace, and we praise him for the revelation that he's given in his word, in his written word, and in his living word. The Lord Jesus Christ reveals the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You and I would have no way of knowing God. We would have no way of figuring out who he is, or what it is he requires, or what it is he's done, if he didn't tell us. And we praise him because we have his word. Holy men of God wrote, they spoke as the Spirit of God moved upon them. This word is not by private interpretation. This is the word of God. Lord, I praise thee because you've been pleased to condescend from your heights in glory. That throne that Isaiah saw was his throne of sovereignty, unthreatened, independent, self-existent throne of omnipotent power. And he came off that throne and revealed himself to us. That's a reason to praise God. We would have no way of knowing him if he didn't open the eyes of our understanding, if he didn't give us ears to hear, if he didn't give us faith to believe, we would not know. God had to come to where we were or where we are in order for us to know anything about him. That's reason for praise. The whole world is trying to figure out who God is. God has to come to us. Not only has he done it in election and in revelation, but he's also done it in righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ has kept the law for us. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I have not come, the Lord Jesus said, to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill it. We praise him because he has satisfied the demands of God's holy law. That's the cause of our praise. Lo, the Lord said, it is written of me in the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will, O God. You and I have never been able to keep one of God's laws. The Lord Jesus Christ kept them with all of his heart and all of his mind and all of his soul all of the time. He was obedient even unto death. Yes, even the death of the cross, whereby God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. We praise him. We praise him for his righteousness. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, I bear them record. I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but without knowledge. Being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they go about trying to establish their own righteousness, not knowing that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's man's natural state, to try to establish a righteousness with God. We praise God because he is our righteousness. We praise him because of election. We praise him because of revelation. We praise him because of righteousness. And fourthly, we praise him because of redemption. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. Verse 14, Jeremiah is prophesying of what the Lord Jesus Christ would do when he comes. And he says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. We praise him because he has done what he promised he would do. He has performed the work of redemption. When the Lord Jesus Christ bowed his mighty head on Calvary's cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. I have purchased them with my precious blood. Everything necessary for their salvation I have performed. And we praise him because of that. Look at verse 15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. The Lord Jesus Christ executed judgment in that he suffered the full wrath of God's justice for the sins of his people that he bore in his body upon that tree. He established perfect righteousness in that he pleased the Father in everything he did. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now in Jeremiah chapter 22, that same verse says, and the name whereby he shall be called is the Lord our righteousness. So now as a result of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has performed, he has given to us his righteousness. And God looks at his church and he says, she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. We praise him because we have no righteousness of our own, but we have a perfect righteousness in him. This is the cause of our praise. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. To be redeemed, to be bought. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a cause for praise when we're brought to believe that he is a successful redeemer. He is a successful redeemer. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. See, the work of redemption was an eternal work. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. It was already determined of God. And he had to obtain that redemption by the sacrifice of himself once and for all. And the Lord Jesus Christ did that. And now what David's saying in Psalm 52, I will praise thee because of what thou hast done. Because of what thou hast done in election, because of what thou hast done in revelation, because of what thou hast done in righteousness, because of what thou hast done in redemption. Lord, you did it. You did it. I know you've heard me use this illustration before, but I'll use it again. All man-made religion, every one of them, every single false gospel that there is in the world, is determined, or the salvation is determined by something that you do. Something that you do. And the difference between the false gospel and the true gospel is the difference between D-O and D-O-N-E. And David is saying here in this psalm, I will praise thee because of what thou hast done. Not because of what I do. You see, praise is not determined by our state of mind, is not determined by our personality or by our attitude at a particular time or by anything that we do, by any decision that we make or by any feelings that we have. It's caused by what he has done. What he has done. It's also caused by what he has done in justification. No man is justified by the works of the law in the sight of God, for the just shall live by faith. If we're going to be justified before God, turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. This is a precious, precious truth. One to hang the hopes of all of your salvation on. Knowing, you know this, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. There's our justification before God. If you have any other translation other than the King James, your Bible is going to say, by your faith in Jesus Christ. We are justified before God by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we which have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For no flesh can be justified by the works of the law. We're justified before God by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that all of God's elect were justified in the Lord Jesus Christ by his work of redemption, by his perfect righteousness, by his justification of the law of God before you were ever born. Before you were ever born. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back into glory, the scripture says, God said of Christ, he said, my word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. Now, what was the purpose for which God sent his son? He tells us. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. He was sent on a mission of salvation. And when he ascended back into glory, he took with him the names of those for whom he lived and died. And he ever lives to make intercession for them. Our justification is in Christ. It's not based on a decision that we make. It's based on his faithfulness to the Father. And David says, I have cause to praise him for what he has done. What he has done. We have cause to praise him for what he has done in regeneration. He has to make us willing in the day of his power. He has to open the eyes of our understanding. He has to take out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. He has to make us to believe. He has to turn us. That's what he told Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You've got to be born of the Spirit. And we praise him for the new birth. Lord, had you not arrested me on my rebellion against you, had you not stopped me in my tracks like you did Saul of Tarsus, had you not knocked me off my high horse, had you not shined a light from heaven, had you not spoke to me, had you not called me to yourself, I wouldn't have come. I'd have no hope. The work of regeneration is a work of grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's not of yourself, it's a gift of God. David said, I have cause to praise him. You see, if these things aren't true, then why praise him? Why not praise yourself? If your law keeping has anything to do with your righteousness before God, then pat yourself on the back. If your decision making has anything to do with your new birth, then pat yourself on the back. This word praise means to give him all the glory and all the honor. It means to bow before him as the one who is holy, 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 the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth is filled with his glory. That's what it means to praise him. We can't take any credit for any of this. We can't take any credit for election. We can't take any credit for revelation. We can't take any credit for righteousness. We can't take any credit for redemption. We can't take any credit for justification. We can't take any credit for our new birth. And we can't take any credit for our sanctification. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I am confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, and that work was begun at the new birth, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I have cause to praise thee because of what thou hast done. Lord, if you don't keep me, I'll fall away. We're going to be looking at Judas in the next hour for just a moment. And remember what the disciples said when the Lord said, one of you among me is going to, what'd they say? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Every child of God knows that if God doesn't keep them, they'll do just what Judas did. Said of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was as strong in faith, giving God the glory. That's what faith is. Faith gives to God all the glory. And people think, well, Abraham was strong in faith. Well, the way up is down. Strength comes by weakness. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, for his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Faith is a complete admission of your own inability, of your own weakness. Faith is not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps or standing head and shoulders above everybody else. Faith is humility. Faith is submission. Faith is dependence. Abraham was completely dependent upon God. And then he goes on to say, and being fully persuaded that he which hath promised will perform it. He will perform it. David said, I have cause to praise because of what thou hast done. Done. And my last point is something that most people think, well, that hasn't been done yet for me. But it has. It has. It's glorification. It's going to heaven. And the scripture makes it clear that that work's already done. It's already done. Romans chapter 8 makes it clear. All that he hath predestinated, that's the election. He hath called, that's regeneration. And all that he hath called, he hath justified. And all that he hath justified, he hath glorified. Hath glorified. You see, all the blessings of God are in the heavenlies in Christ right now. I'm going to make a statement. You've heard me, most of you have heard me make this before. And you just think about it. This is beyond our comprehension, but it's true. When a believer takes their last breath and enters into glory, they're going to discover that they've always been there. All the foolishness that men have about heaven. Going to heaven and being reunited with loved ones and all, you know, that's not the way it is. We're already glorified. We're in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, right now. And some of you say, well, it's as if we were. No, it's as if we were here. It's as if we were here. If there's anything that's a figment of our imagination, it's our existence here. Not there. That's sure. It's already done. God's people are already glorified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And David said, I have cause to praise thee. I have cause to praise thee for what thou hast done. Has he done that? If he has, we will find ourselves praising him. Oh, There's so much more in this verse, and I'm afraid I've used up all my time, but let's go back to the verse for just a moment, see if I can summarize the last part of this. I've titled this, The Cause of Praise and the Cause of Faith. I will wait on thy name, for it is good. For it is good. I heard someone say recently that young people need to set their goals high and work hard to achieve all that they can so that when they get old, they can look back at their life and have some sense of accomplishment. Well, I am old, and I look back at my life, and I have no sense of accomplishment. And when you get old, if you're honest, you're going to look back at your life and have no sense of accomplishment. If you're honest. Now, I know young people, like I said a few weeks ago, young people, we start out as pioneers and we end up as survivors, don't we? You know, that's just the way life is. That's the way it is. That being said, there is something that gives the believer hope, great hope, great encouragement, not looking back over the accomplishments of their lives, but looking at what the Lord has done and looking at who he is. Look, I will wait on thy name, for it is good. It is good. The only thing that I see in my life that's good is what God has done in enabling me to look to, rest in, believe on, and love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's good. That's why Solomon, at the end of his life, he said, I've tried everything. He was a king of Israel. You think, well, there's a man that's accomplished something. And he tells us in Ecclesiastes, he says, I've indulged myself in wine, women, and wealth. He covers all everything that you would think that a man could indulge himself in. And he says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Everybody wants to feel like, well, my life is counted for something. You know what? Not going to be long after we're gone, nobody's even going to remember us. Nobody's even going to remember us. That's not what life is about. Life is not about trying to count for something, make an impression on the world. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. He is our life. Life is bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't have him, we've got nothing. If we've got him, we've got everything. Everything. I will wait on thy name. You hear somebody's name, somebody that you love, you hear their name spoken. You don't think about where they're from or what they've done or spelling their name properly. You think about that person that you love. That's what a name represents. And we hear the name Jesus. And people speak it with such disrespect, disregard, using the name of the Lord vainly. But oh, when we hear his name, we know that he's a successful Savior. You call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. He is that glorious I am that spoke to Moses at the burning bush. Jehovah, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the gate to the sheepfold. I am the resurrection and the life. I will wait on thy name. That's faith. Waiting on him is faith. I will wait on thy name, for it is good. And I would say it is the only thing that's good. Well, I'm not just saying that. He said that. He said that. Good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. There's none good but God. We have cause to praise his name because he's the only thing good in our lives. Only thing good. When men measure goodness, all they're doing is comparing bad to bad and coming to some conclusion of the lesser of two evils. But in God's estimation of goodness, there's only one thing that's good. There's only one that's good. David said, I have cause to praise thy name because it is good. It's good. All right, let's take a break.